Hello, everybody. I thought I would change things about this year and add to my blog some audios. I'm not sure if that's the correct terminology, audio blog, but that will have to do for now, and no doubt somebody will text me and tell me. I'm still going to go through 2 Corinthians, still working our way through it. So if you've got a Bible with you, you're going to need to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I don't know if you're like me, but there are times when I really do worry if I'm making progress in the Christian life at all. I wonder if I'm moving forward to perhaps a better or greater or closer relationship with Christ. Now, it's not that I'm backsliding or recording this to confess some sort of moral sin to you. It's just that there are times when I think about this subject quite a lot, that I assess my faith quite a lot, think about it. It's like my primary school reports that would come back to my mum, and my mum would open them and sit down and she'd say, "Do you know what it says at the bottom of these?" And the bottom, it said repeatedly, could do better. The truth is that I suppose if I weren't making progress, I probably wouldn't be worried about whether I am or not. So I guess there is some comfort in the fact that I'm bothered about it. But it really does frustrate me sometimes to see that I don't learn spiritual lessons, that my holiness could be more better, but could be more better, could be much better than it is, that I should be and would hope to be more Christ-like than I am. So when I read 2 Corinthians 3:18, I find it very encouraging because it tells me, and therefore tells us, that I and you are not standing still, that the Holy Spirit is at work in me and you, and maybe I and we don't see what God sees. God tells me that there is movement. Paul says that we move from one degree of glory to another. He writes literally that we're being transformed from one degree of glory to another, that there is a magnificent transformation that is taking place. God began this work of grace at a point in our life which theologians call regeneration or new birth or being born again. And that consisted of an experience of seeing his glory in who he was. And we responded to that. And that glory is building momentum in our hearts. It's progressively moving forward to the final experience of the fullness of that glory at the return of Christ Jesus. The end game is described for us, and this process is described for us in the Bible. Let me give you some texts. This is Philippians 3, verse 20 to 21. "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself." Colossians 3, "For when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." 1 John 3, verse 2, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is." This is what we're being transformed for. This is what we're being prepared for. This is what we're being changed for. We're being changed, prepared, transformed for heaven. God is at work, preparing us, getting us ready. This is about readying ourselves. So let's look at verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from the one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Paul describes us as those who are beholding the glory of the Lord. We're not like the Israelites of old. We see with an unveiled face. It was the privilege of Moses alone to glimpse the glory of God. It says in Numbers 12, verse 8, that he saw his form, he saw his shape, he saw something there, but he couldn't quite see what it was. It says in Exodus 33, verse 22, and that he saw his back. But now, new covenant Christians, don't look upon his form and his back. Every Christian, without distinction, is privileged to behold his glory. Amazing. The very throne room of heaven is open to us. We can see him in all his glory. Paul uses the imagery of a mirror and suggests that we see the glory of the Lord indirectly, or mirrored, as it were, in the face of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God. But where do we actually see or behold that glory? Paul saw the glory of God on the road to Damascus. He saw this bright light, this glory that hit him and stopped him in his tracks. Yes, it was Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 6, Paul tells us that God shines the glory of that light in our hearts through the gospel. We are beholding, we are seeing Jesus and his gospel. See, what we see matters. It really does matter. What we look at matters. Where we put our focus matters. It's those things that change us. John said, "The Word became flesh and he dwelt amongst us, and we have seen his glory. Glory of the only God and Father, full of grace and truth." And he followed him to the ends of the earth because of what he saw. Get yourself into a posture of being blown away by Jesus. Now, the process of change, we call that sanctification. And it comes only as or because we behold the glory of God. It doesn't come through a harsh regime or punishing oneself or disciplining ourselves more. The more we behold, the more we are changed. Sanctification is a fruit of beholding Christ. So ignorance and lack of beholding, yes, it's going to breed problems for us. So I say it again, get beholding. The more we behold, the more we change. Paul is clearly talking about a transformation of the inner person. See, when Jesus was transfigured, the change was outwardly visible. Matthew 17, verse 2. But when Christians are transformed, the change is inward. Our hearts are changed. Our minds are renewed, Romans 12, 2. And when our hearts are changed and our minds are renewed, then something visible happens on the outward. We become and we behave like Christ. The heart and mind affects the way that we behave. And we must remember that sanctification is progressive. It's not instantaneous. There's not a boom and automatically that you are changed into some sort of superhuman Christian. As we said earlier, we are gradually moving by the power of the Spirit from one stage or one degree of glory to another. It is to the Spirit that we look to help us with these changes. It's therefore important that we keep coming to this simple basic truth. Be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit produces fruit of the Spirit. Therefore, sanctification is a work of grace. We are being transformed by something else, by someone else, the agent of which is the Spirit of Christ. We don't change ourselves. God changes us. The Spirit changes us. We act because we're acted upon. We work out our salvation with fear and trembling because God is at work in us to do his good pleasure. As human beings, we tend to become like or take on the characteristics or the qualities of whatever it is we admire or whoever we admire or enjoy or cherish the most. Where we spend our time, where we put our efforts. Fixing our eyes on Jesus is transformative. Gazing on his glory will change us. You know, whether it's little steps or big steps, whether it's short spurts or big spurts of sanctification, small triumphs that nobody notices or great noble triumphs that everyone notices, we're all moving towards the fullness that is found in Christ alone. And one day we'll be found fully when we are in heaven. So I want to encourage you. I want to even encourage myself that God is at work. There's a good work going on. Be reassured. Paul wrote this to the Philippians. I am sure of this. Maybe you and I need to repeat this. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. God bless you.